Hi, everyone, and welcome to yet another edition of Vivarian Podcast Works. You're here with me, Samrin, today, and we are going to look back at Bayern's 5-2 victory against Darmstadt. Well, 2-5 away from home. So, I think coming into this game, just before getting into who lined up and whatnot, I had very high expectations. I really did expect to see a big scoreline, like, you know, 6-7 or perhaps 8 goals, as happened against Mainz last week. And we got a big scoreline. It is just that this game was a reminder for me that despite what happened against Lazio and what happened against Mainz, this team is still deeply flawed. Really, Bayern really started playing on the front foot in, I would say, that Lazio game. And you saw some glimpses of that against Freiburg, and then Bayern really kicked on against Lazio. And for a team who's suddenly changing the way it plays, even though it's kind of going back to its own former identity, it can take a little time to adjust, going away from U-ball and starting to suddenly play on the front foot again. It's different. Let's take a deeper look at the game, and then we'll go into what the future might or might not hold for Bayern. So in terms of lineups, let me just give you Darmstadt's lineups. They had Schuhan in goal, Müller, Clara, Isherwood, and Holland at the back four, Jus van Kempe, Franjic, and Honsak in the midfield, and Wilhelmsson and Skarka up front. Bayern lined up with an unchanged setup. Once again, Kane up top, Musiala, Müller, Sané behind him, Goretzka, Pavlovic, the midfield duo, Guerrero, Dier, De Ligt, and Kimmich, the back four, and Neuer in goal. Bayern came out pretty good, although we were discussing this together. I Need No Name seemed to believe that there was something missing about the team. And while I didn't necessarily feel that way, there was a bit of sharpness, I guess, or incisive movements in the box. But Bayern eventually paid the price for not finishing their chances. Also, Darmstadt just completely filled up the box and defended with everybody on the line, basically, and conceded a goal to Darmstadt. For that goal, yes, Kimmich is slow to come back and cover, but Dier makes two mistakes there. I didn't see the replay more than once, but it looked to me like Dier was playing the Darmstadt player who made the pass onside, and then he fails to make a block, which leads to the goal. And this is the worst of Eric Dier, and this is what we had kind of feared. I'm not saying that Kim Min-jae being in there, Deo Pamecano being in there, would have necessarily made it better. I'm saying that Eric Dier did not play a lot for Tottenham this season, and suddenly he's playing a lot, and mistakes, and in a new team, and in a defense that hasn't really been consistent all season long. So it was not surprising for me to see those mistakes, but Bayern would eventually come back through a wonderful goal from Jamal Musiala, which really was set up by Alexander Pavlovich. Harry Kane gives him the assist, but excellent work by Alexander Pavlovich to set up that goal. And from there, Harry Kane scored. Serge Gnabry got a beautiful goal in the second half. Of course, right after Harry Kane scored, Darmstadt hit the post. Serge Gnabry scored. Before Serge Gnabry's goal, there was, of course, Jamal Musiala's second. Another beautiful, just beautiful goal by Musiala. Gnabry's goal was, again, just great understanding between him and Musiala. He seems to have come back ready to play and scoring goals ahead of a tie against an English side he used to play for. And Matthijs Tel wrapped up the scoring. We thought that would be it, but no, Bayern conceded a goal from Oscar Wilhelmsson, which, you know, credit to Darmstadt. It was a really beautifully played move that led to the goal. Darmstadt did not do that poorly, but just coming back to Bayern on this one, let's get the great aspects of this performance out of the way. The Musiala-Müller combo is really how it should be. Musiala works best when paired with Müller in midfield. Müller has to play for us to see Musiala's best. I firmly believe that, and we saw Musiala's best today. I probably, like, my memory is missing some aspects, but I put this down as Musiala's best, one of the best, if not the best performance of the season. Everything he touched, there was just this consistency about him, this willingness to set up other people and not just go for the goal himself, just knowing when to make the right moves and when not to make the right moves. I thought he was so good today, and kind of reminded me of the Jamal Musiala we saw emerge under Hansi Flick. Just what a brilliant player this kid is. Despite all the problems that Bayern have had this season, it is undeniable just the individual class of the players in this side. And, you know, maybe a better coach will make more out of it. But Musiala just had a wonderful, wonderful game today, and we hope to see more of the same from him. Going on from Musiala, of course, Kane had a good game. A couple other players I want to talk about. Alexander Pavlovich. I thought there were moments in midfield that I was watching this kid and just watching him stop Darmstadt progressing the ball up farther on the pitch, just watching him tackle, just watching him know when to make the right moves. Bayern's got a real gem in him. And there has been talk of how not enough youth players, the kinds like Müller, Schweinsteiger, Lahm, haven't recently come up, but Bayern has produced quite a few good players recently. Steinicz is doing really well at Leverkusen. Alexander Pavlovich has emerged. I wonder if Franz Kretzig can grow into the team. And while Matthijs Tel did not emerge from the youth system and was bought for a sizable fee for such a young player, he is developing. And he produces whenever he comes on. He's such an excellent impact sub to have. Matthijs Tel is not always the best when he starts games, but he will grow into that. And whenever he comes on, just excellent, excellent to watch. I thought De Ligt had a pretty good game. Just I love De Ligt's understanding of what to do in last minute situations, like one-on-one. He's very, very good at bailing out Bayern, and it's just nice to see him. I also want to talk about Kimmich. I think remembers the attacking part of being a right back, but has to be reminded about the defensive part of being a right back. But the cross that leads to I believe Kane's goal, Kimmich can cross a ball, and Kimmich can play these wonderful passes, and it's just so wonderful to have him at right back. I don't know if it'll be enough going into the Arsenal tie if Kimmich is going to regain his best form as a right back, but today there were just moments just when he just, you know, progressed up the pitch with the ball. It felt like I was watching Lahm again. He always reminded me of Philipp Lahm, and I was kind of sad that he wanted to play midfield and he did not want any comparisons with Lahm. But Bayern had a natural Lahm replacement in him, and then he moved to midfield. Kimmich is good. He's really good as a right back. He just needs to, you know, get the defensive half of this straightened out. Serge Gnabry, just wonderful to see him back. Pavlovich went off injured after getting hit in the eye, basically. And Harry Kane got injured while trying to score another goal and basically running into the post instead. I hope Kane will be all right, because honestly, this is a worrying trend. There's good argument to be made that last year Bayern was not competitive against Manchester City in the quarterfinals at all because Choupo-Moting was out. So there was nobody to give the ball to. Bayern had so much of the ball. And, you know, Leroy Sané just ran with the ball and just had no one to pass it to. So he took these shots from distance. And Müller was on the bench because, you know, Thomas Tuchel. And we're gonna get to Thomas Tuchel. But, yeah, and 2 years ago, or was it 3 years ago at this point? 3 years ago, against PSG, Robert Lewandowski was ruled out of the tie with an injury, and Bayern created so much, and Choupo scored to his credit, but without Lewandowski, there wasn't a party. So I really hope Kane is all right, because this team could really do with him. Speaking of Choupo, if for whatever reason Kane is not okay, Choupo will have to step up to the mark, but Choupo looks like he's out of form. He hasn't played that much this season, and Bayern being knocked out of the cup early did not help. But yeah, just Musiala set up a chance for him today and just made a mess of it. Other than that, I thought Neuer did what he could most of the time and had a good game. And Zane is becoming a little bit of a concern for me. I didn't think he was poor today by any means, aside from misplaced passes here and there. But the goal drought might be impacting him. Like, he genuinely looks upset. Or maybe he's just really tired. And now onto Thomas Tuchel. You don't change a winning team, and I'm a big believer of that. But I'm not quite sure why we're not seeing Kim Min-jae at all. I don't know what's going to happen after the international break, but I don't recall a big Kim mistake that might have sent him to the bench. I understand it in Upamecano's case, but I'm not sure what's happening with Kim Min-jae. And it's hard for me to trust Tuchel and believe that when it comes to the Champions League ties coming up, that he's actually going to stick to this lineup and not just decide to take Muller out and play Gnabry, who's in good form, to be fair, but playing Muller in there is what's getting the best out of the front four. So, yeah, we're seeing so much more precision and incisiveness in attack because Thomas Muller is on the pitch. To add a few more things, Rafael Guerrero was interesting today because I didn't really know what to make of Guerrero because he got into plenty of good positions, but I definitely think he could have been better today just based off of his quality. But of course, Alphonso Davies would probably take his place anyway, and Davies did come on as a substitute. We saw Konrad Laimer too having to come in for Pavlovic, of course. Yeah, overall, good performance from Bayern, but there are worrying signs about that back four. And this is probably what's really frustrating. When Thomas Tuchel came in, and this was a problem with Hansi Flick's Bayern as well, pointed out about Hansi Flick's Bayern repeatedly, that Bayern has defensive issues. Bayern leaks too many goals. And under Flick that season, in Flick's last season, Bayern did leak a lot of goals. They basically still had enough potential to beat just about everybody else and probably would have won the Champions League again had Lewandowski been available. But I don't think you can have a really good, hungry Bayern without a somewhat flawed defense. And I'm actually going to go back and just look at, you know, let's look at some excellent Bayern sides from the past, right? Let's look at 2012-13 Bayern. They only conceded 18 goals. 18. That's very, very low. I mean, it's strikingly low. And that season, Dortmund finished second and conceded 42 goals. And yeah, shocking. So next from Bayern, Leverkusen were the next team to concede the least goals, which is 39 goals. But 2012-13 was a long time ago. So now let's look at 2019-20. Another fantastic season. Bayern, maybe the best season. Well, trophies-wise, the best season in Bayern's history. Bayern conceded 32 goals. Far cry from 18, you know? And yes, there was the defeat to Frankfurt to account for. But 32 is not a small account. Dortmund conceded 41. Leipzig conceded 37. Gladbach conceded 40. That's the top four, and Leverkusen conceded 44, Hoffenheim 53. So, yeah. 21-22, Bayern conceded 37. 20-21, Bayern conceded 44. 22-23, Bayern conceded 38 under Nagelsmann. And Tuchel combined, 23-24, Bayern's conceded 31. Leverkusen, by comparison, has only conceded 16. Whew, 16. Man, I didn't think the number was that low. That caught me off by surprise. So, the point that I'm trying to make here is Tuchel was brought in to shore up the defense. Take away this Darmstadt game and take away the Mainz game, you know, Tuchel. And the Freiburg game. So that's what? 3-1, 4-2, 6. 6 goals that Bayern conceded. And it's still not exactly that number 18 or close to Leverkusen's goals against, which is 16. And the whole argument behind Tuchel playing that kind of boring, insipid football that we saw coming into the last few weeks of the of this campaign so far did not really result in the aim of making Bayern defensively better. You need a consistent defense, you need a happy team to be defensively better. And again, the argument has been made that the problem started in midfield. That's not wrong. We haven't had a Javi Martinez type player or even a Thiago since Thiago left. And to be fair, it is always wise to remind everybody that Thiago was only a regular starter in that Bayern side because Pavard got injured and Kimmich had to shift to right back, because before then Kimmich and Goretzka were playing in midfield. So I don't know where the balance for this team sits, especially because it feels like the beginning of the season for me. That Freiburg game felt like, that Freiburg game felt like a season opener to me. Like, this is how we kind of want to play, but we're not there yet. And that's the feeling that I get from Bayern consistently. This is how we used to play. This is how we're going to play moving forward, but we're not there yet. Some of the attacking moves are flawless. Watching Jamal Musiala was like watching magic today. And you know what? Credit to Müller for that quick throw that leads to Musiala's second goal. And it's like Tuchel now knows, and he's probably always known the best Bayern attack, but he didn't. He wanted some kind of different version of it that suited his narrative. But it just feels to me like this team is learning how to be Bayern all over again. And that is going to come with problems, particularly defensive problems. There's just no way around it. Kimmich is learning how to be a right back all over again. Guerrero's tendency is to play on the front foot, not the best defender out there. Eric Dier basically did not play for Tottenham at all this season. And now he's starting on a regular basis with Kim Min-jae on the bench. So to me, it feels like there is an adjustment period, and there will be an adjustment period moving forward. What I really liked today was that Bayern went a goal down and fought back to win the game. In recent weeks, it has felt like if Bayern goes a goal down, there's no coming back from it. But Bayern found a way today, and this was another really good performance to watch. Not perfect by any means, not close to perfect by any means, but just very, very good to watch. Some other things that I wanted to note moving forward: Bayern is going to play Dortmund after the international break on Saturday, March 30th. Bayern will play Heidenheim on April 6th before playing Arsenal in the first leg in London without away fans on April 9th, although I wouldn't be surprised to see a few Bayern fans in that crowd. April 13th, Köln; April 17th, the return against Arsenal; and April 20th, Union Berlin. The Dortmund game, and look, Terzic Ball is just terrible, but Terzic Ball can be quite effective when Dortmund sets up to defend and just play on the counter. So that Bayern-Dortmund game, like, Bayern always beats Dortmund, but both these days. I'm really, really curious to see how that plays out. Then after that, of course, there will be Heidenheim. And those two games, I think, are solid tests for Bayern to set up against Arsenal, because neither of these games are easy. No matter, you know, we all sit here and make fun of Dortmund and laugh about Dortmund, but at the end of the day, Dortmund is, well, right now they're fifth because they didn't play till tomorrow, but Dortmund's been in the top four for the majority of the season. And Heidenheim is always, always difficult to play against. Even in the reverse fixture, Bayern was 2-0 up and suddenly found themselves at 2-2, I think. Or was 3-0 up and suddenly found themselves at 3-2. No, I'm pretty sure it was at 2-2 before going on to win the game. But these are two solid tests ahead of Arsenal. And I do want to talk a little bit about the Arsenal tie as somebody who watches both sides. Well, I watch Bayern all the time, but I watch Arsenal fairly regularly too. That is that Arsenal has a lot of things going on about them, and they are just such a stable outfit compared to Bayern. Bayern's midfield, defense, just there's so much instability in Bayern. But there's also something really beautiful about this instability at Bayern right now in the past three games and not before that. It's that they can score. And when Bayern starts scoring goals, Bayern is just a completely different looking outfit. And yes, Bayern was scoring a lot of goals beforehand as well, but the goals had dried up when Tuchel's approach was no longer working. I mean, Bayern got one past Köln, come on. But now they're coming. what is it? 8-5, 13, 13-3, 16. 16 goals in the past three games. And they're going to keep coming. So while I think Arsenal's a much better team right now, that instability about Bayern might just help Bayern right now, because that attack is absolutely flowing and that attack is very, very difficult to stop. I don't know which way this is going to swing. And honestly, I'm kind of even a little bit surprised that Bayern got to the quarterfinals, because the way that things were, I didn't expect things to work out against Lazio, but they did, and here we are. And for now, this team is just playing some excellent eye-catching football. And there's, you know, supporters have different priorities. Many people just want to win regardless of how the wins come. Many people care about the aesthetics. Many people have specific players they want to see all the time. For me, I just want to see good football. That's it. That's all I want to see. And these last three games have been, starting that Lazio game, it's been one of the few times that I've actually wanted to watch Bayern this season. You know, when you're a supporter, you watch your team regardless most of the time. And that's what I've been doing, really. And now it feels like I want to get up for Bayern games and I want to watch Bayern games. Because they're playing, not perfectly, but some of those free-flowing football once more. Just watching Jamal Musiala today was like poetry in motion. Like, wow. And the architect behind that, Pavlovic, and then in midfield you had Muller and, of course, Kane. Like, it's so, so good to watch. So here's hoping Bayern stays on the front foot, keeps playing on the front foot, and that Harry Kane is not overplayed during the international break, and Alexander Pavlovic and everybody else comes back in one piece, and Goretzka gets a much-deserved break, Sané gets a much-deserved break. And on the other side, we have a really good showing against Dortmund, Heidenheim, and perhaps do respectably well against Arsenal in the first leg. So that's it from me, Samrin. Thank you for listening to a lot of my philosophical points about this Bayern side, but it was a good win. It's one to be celebrated. And of course, like we always say, be sure to stay tuned to Bavarian Podcast Works for all of your up-to-date coverage on Bayern Munich in Germany. Follow us on Twitter at Bavarian Football Works, at Bavarian Podcast, at The Barrel Blog, at BFW Siler, at BFW Inn, at more. And thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the win. Enjoy the international break, of course. We'll have Germany coverage, undoubtedly. And we'll see you on the other side when Bayern plays Dortmund as well. Take care.